Well, Purim is behind us, and we're getting ready for Pesach, and that's really what Chazal tell us, that Mismach Ke'ula Le'Ke'ula, the Shaila in the Gemara, whether Purim should be in Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, and the thing that argues in favor of the Adar Rishon is because Ein Mavir in Adar Mitzvahs, and what argues in the favor of the Adar Sheni is because Mismach Ke'ula Le'Ke'ula Odev or Adifa, it's better to be masmech the geula of Purim to the geula of Pesach. And the emes is that that's a strange little quirk, because why is it taka odev? The Gemara doesn't say, at least as far as I know, the Gemara doesn't say why it is odev. And emes it's a shtickel shaila, because the din of ein maviren ala mitzvahs is a halacha and kol ha-toira kula. There are many issues where we decide what to do because ein maviren ala mitzvahs. And so who says that mismach geula li geula is odef? Now, if it's odef, why is it odef? So, I don't know, but it seems to me, again, this is not something that I've seen. Please think it over and see whether you want to be makabelet. But I think that the adifus of having Purim next to Pesach is a very, very profound lesson in Yiddishkeit in general and in anything that we do as Yidden. And that is that if you look, you read in the papers and so on, when Purim was coming up, so the papers which tried to explain to their readership, they said that there's major holidays in Judaism and then there are the minor holidays. And Chanukah and Purim, of course, are the minor holidays. Why are they the minor holidays? Because they're the Rabbanan and they're not the Raisa. I imagine that's what they meant. The emesis, what they don't realize, is I think that Purim is so major. I mean, without the Arizal, we ain't lono esek benis Torahs. But even at a poshte level, Purim is, it seems to me, the biggest yontif that you can possibly imagine. Although I shouldn't have used the word yontif, because Purim is not a yontif. We all know the Chazal, that the two psukim in Megillas Esther, I don't have it in front of me now, but I'm sure you all remember, that at the beginning, Mordechai and Esther, they sent around that it should be Yom Mishta V'Simcha V'Yom Tov, and then a few psukim later, the Yom Mishta V'Simcha without Yom Tov. So Chazal say that they weren't mekabel the Yom Tov. Now what does it mean that they weren't mekabel the Yom Tov? Why weren't they mekabel the Yom Tov? Okay, you have to have that, when Chazal mesak in something, it has to be that the Rav HaTzibur is willing to be mekabel it. So they weren't mekabelet. They weren't willing to be mekabelet. Why weren't they willing to be mekabelet? Okay, so you'll hear probably people in the street, they say, yeah, Jews, they like business, and ways to give up another business day. It's too much. Yeah, Mishnah, Simcha, Mele, why not? Over to be also, Asiyas, Melach, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. Why were they taken not mekabelet? Why were they not mekabel that Purim should be Yontif? The Chazal understood differently. They Chatril, Mordechai and Esther said, Mishnah V'Simcha and Yontif. So why did the Kohal not be Mekabelet and say, no, we don't want that it should be a Yontif? Anius Daiti, again, I'm not sure if it says it anywhere and if Rishonim talk about it. I don't know. But what I'm telling you is what I think is the is some kind of emes over here, and that is because it's so much greater if that Purim is not a yontif and still it's Purim. In other words, that we don't need the trappings of the yontif, the issa asiyas melacha, and all the trappings of a yontif, that the ordinary life, a choyl, absolute choyl, you're allowed to do other things, and it's not a yontif, and still it's kodesh kodoshim. That means that Purim is the occasion during the year, And I think that that is, by the way, why it's mismach ge'ula le'ge'ula. Like, again, the Gemara says mismach ge'ula le'ge'ula is odif. Now, why is it odif? What's so important about being mismach or masmach ge'ula le'ge'ula? The Teretz is that we shouldn't think, if we would have had Ador, if we would have had Purim in Ador Rishon, so then, and then there's a long Ador Sheni with nothing, and then comes Pesach. So the psychological reaction to that would have been, yeah, it's understandable. Like, we have to make a difference between Purim and Pesach. Pesach, Pesach, Pesach is Pesach. Zechel Tzias Mitzrayim, Pesach is everything, 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 everything. It's the greatest yontif that you can possibly imagine. And you're going to have little Purim. Yeah, so Mishnah V'Simcha. Yeah, but you're... was it us? I mean, it shouldn't be confused with Pesach. The emesis, Lanius Daite, why shouldn't it be confused with Pesach? Because Purim, that you can take Chol and make it into the biggest yontif that you can possibly imagine, that is something. And that is teaching us something about Pesach. That's teaching us something about Yiddishkeit. It's teaching us something. It's teaching us something that there is no such thing as Chol, that a Chol makes a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam not shayach. Chas v'sholom. Our duty is to find the Ribbono Shel Olam in Chol. You want to know how I know that? Why? Who says that Chol is there to teach us that in Chol it's shayach to find the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's the Heilige Ramban. Oh, vayhi ha'odam le'nefesh chaya. Ramban, right at the beginning of Bereshis, after the Ribbono Shel Olam created Odom HaRishon and Ofer min ha'adama, so it says vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, vayhi ha'odam le'nefesh chaya. Rabbi Sai, it is good to sein a yid. And it's good to have a Purim, and it's good to have a Pesach, and it's unbelievably good to have Purim and Pesach next to each other, with no division between them longer than simply the calendar makes it necessary. But be'etzem, it's the selbe Sach, except that Purim has an edge. Pesach, Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Yontov. No, Yontov. Yeah, so Yontov. So you have to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, Nishkan Kleinigkeit. But Purim is Chol, it's an ordinary day, and it's an ordinary day where we become totally extraordinary. And as I stated in Heiligen Ramban, he says that, what do we mean? Vayhi ha'odam le'nefesh chaya, v'halamet hazeh lamet ha'kinyan. The Odom, Vayitzah Hashem Elokim Es Odom, Ofer Min HaAdama, that Odom HaRishon was simply a physical something, yeah? Vayihi HaOdom, and you took that physical something and you subordinated it to the Neshama. That's what the Ramban says. V'alamet HaZeh Lamet HaKinyan, K'mo Adoni HaMelech, L'cho ani v'chola sheli. All that I am is yours. L'koine oisai l'daraisav. L'cho ani hoshieni. That is what the Torah is telling us. That vayhi odom l'nefesh chaya. Odom, our metzias, who we are, what we are. What is it? What is its purpose? What does it teach us? It teaches us that the physical can be made into the holy. Rabbi Sai, and that is the solution. Will I read you a shtickel Ramaral now? Yeah? By our Pasha this week, by he, it says it's a Moyote Gesach, when we have Pesach Sheni, Adar Sheni. So we chaper rein Shmini right after Purim, usually it's after Pesach, I think. It's because our Purim is a month later. So we hit Parshas Shmini, Vayhi Vayom HaShmini, And there we have what is probably the hardest Rashi in Chumash. Now, of course, I have no right to say that, because if I would know all the Rashis in Chumash, that would be something different. But I don't. But I have enough sechel to understand that Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini is a very, very problematic wording. Why? Rashi says, what does it mean Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini? L'miluim. It was the shmini l'miluim. So unless you really think what you're doing, you figure, oh, this was the eighth day of the miluim. The only trouble is that the miluim did not have 8 days. Here, I'll read to you the posuk in Vayikra Ches and Tzav, posuk Lamed Gimel. Umipesach oil moyed lois seitzu shivas yomim ad yom melois yomei miluehem ki shivas yomim yomale es yetchem. The failures that the miluim were only 7 days. So what does it mean? What does Rashi mean? The shmini la miluim. What does that mean? The eighth, look, I don't remember how I was taught this when I learned Chumash Rashi in school, but I imagine I learned shmini la miluim, the eighth day of the miluim, except that it isn't true because there were only 7 days for the miluim. So what does it mean, shmini la miluim? So the Maral over there, the Gur Aryeh, explains, it's too long to read the whole thing for you now, although maybe I should. Here, I'll read it to you. Listen to this. We've quoted that Gemara before. That's a Gemara in Shabbos, where it says that if you stood in the Mishkan and you looked up, where the Yerias get joined, so the Lulois, which were blue, and the Krosim, which were gold, it looked like stars in the sky. So what does that mean? Like, why was it so important that they looked like stars in the sky? So I'll just read to you a little bit of the Maral over here. So it says like this, Dovo ze bi'anu b'mokam acha, mishum shemase mishkan, tichsiv vayhi b'yom hashmini, our yom hashmini. What does it mean, yom hashmini? There are only 7 days of miluim. Rashi said lo miluim, but there are only 7 days of miluim. So the Maral, havaye bifnei atzma, that on this eighth day doesn't mean the eighth coming after seven. Listen to what he says. Havaye bifnei atzma, it's a creation of its own. Doime el havayes oilam. What the posuk is saying is that what happened on the Yom HaShmini, namely the chinuch of the Mishkan, was the parallel of the creation of the world. The Havaya Zoy Shela Mishkan Lemalo Min Havaya Soilam. And the Chinuch of the Mishkan was greater than the creation of the world. Ki lekach ksiv b'mishkan b'yoyim ha-shmini shehu mimailo mimase b'reishas shehoyo b'shivas yomim. Uklal omru b'medrash Shokul Masse Mishkan Kamai Masse Shomaim Vaoretz. Ksivoch Vahiva Yom Hashmini, Uksivhosem Vayere Vayvoka. Now, the next part I underlined over here. Klal Hadova, Masse Mishkan Havaye Bifne Atzmo, Lemailo Mehavayas Masse Bereshes. Misyaches Loi Doimeloi, Kamoshibianu Bepashas Shmini. Vese Mashomanu Kan, Nirim Lulois Bemishkan Kuchovim Barakia. Mishkan El Zog the Maral, and it says it more barichas. I didn't read the whole thing to you. But the pshat is like this. When it says Yom HaShmini, it does not mean the eighth of the seven. In other words, that there's a group consisting of 8 days, seven of them are miluim, and the eighth day is also miluim. Rashi, what's going on? In other words, Rashi says, no, that's not, the Maral says that's not what it's called, the eighth day. It's called the eighth day not because it's the eighth of the seven. It's called the eighth day because the bria of what took place on this Yom HaShmini, namely the chinuch of the Mishkan, that is a zach which happens under the I don't know exactly what the word is I'm thinking of here. It's an eight kind of thing. It's not a seven kind of thing. It's the Yom HaShmini. It's the day which is under the mazel. I don't know what the right word is. Yeah, of Shmini. Shmini is always in the moral system. It's always the what's Olam Habodik. It's not this world, it's the other world. And that is what the Mishkan is. The Yom HaShmini means the day which we can call Yom HaShmini in the sense that it comes after 7 days, but not that it's the eighth of the set, Miluim plus this. It's a separate concept, a concept which is described as taking place, let's say, under the muzzle, for want of a better word, of Shmini. It belongs into the Olam HaShmini. And that is what the Loshon of the Ramban is. I think I read it to you a few minutes ago. And what does he say? Lamed HaZeh, Lamed HaKinyan. One second. Yeah, that's another way. Vahiva Yom HaShmini, Havaya Bifnei Atzma, Doime El Havayas Oilam. This is a completely separate, unique event, this Yom HaShmini. Vahavaya Zoys Shel Mishkan Lemailam in Havayas Oilam. Why is it Lemailam in Havayas Oilam? Why is the Mishkan Lemaila min Havaya Sa'olam? The Mishkan is Lemaila min Havaya Sa'olam because Havaya Sa'olam is a physical world. That's why. It's a physical world. And the physical world is very wonderful. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a physical world, Kol HaKavod, that's where we're living, and that's where we have to function. But then the Ribbono Shel Olam sneaked Ki'ilu into this physical world, something that's not physical at all. And if you're still excited about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, on Sukkot, especially Hashana Rabbah. And you know what's going on over there? That Ribbono Shel Olam, the Mayim HaElyonim, the Mayim HaTachtonim, the Mayim HaTachtonim, said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, yeah, Anon Be'inan Le'mehave Kave Malka. Why do you relegate us to the physical world? Yeah, and the Mayim HaElyonim, they're all up there with you in the non-physical world. So Ribbono Shel Olam said, relax, you're going to have the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot. And that is what Yiddishkeit is about, Rabbi Sir. It's a meurige Sache. See, why is it so fundamental? I tell you, it's so fundamental that it can't really be more fundamental than that. And I said this once in many, many years ago, in one of the earlier shiurim, these shiurim, but I listened to it today to remind myself of what we were learning then. It's really a moyo de gazach. Poor Kayin, he tried so hard. He invented the korbanos, right? There was nobody who brought a korban before Kayin came along. It's unbelievable. Kayin, and he invented the korban. So what's the big kasha in the story of Kayin and Hevel? So Hevel saw from Kayin that it's a good thing to bring a korban, and so he took from the best what he had, the sheep. We know the story. So what's the kasha? How can anybody go away from that story without asking himself, like, what's wrong with Kayin? Like, why couldn't he be mechaven? Why couldn't he be mechaven to what Hevel was mechaven? Hevel understood, yeah. The Gemara says it, yeah. But by mumen, hakriveyu no lefechosecho yitzcho yisaponecho. Try bringing this damaged goods and give it as a present to the pachas, to the. Whoever it is, the mayor, the governor, whatever it is, yeah? And you want to get a favor from him, so you give him a present. So you're going to give him a second-rate present, which is scratched up or whatever it is. Yeah? So mum is puzzled. Puzzles the problem. Hakriveyu no lefechosechem. Try giving it to the governor and see what happens to you. And that Kayin wasn't able to figure out. Kayin was the son of Odom HaRishon, Nishkin Kleinikat. Yeah, so you can't figure out that, yeah, zich, yeah, Elomai, what are you going to say? No, no, but he didn't figure it out. Oh, right, the Rabbi Nishan wasn't in the Kabbalist come. But Rabbi say, I don't know, Chesnish, what your Rebbe taught you. But I don't know what my Rebbe taught me either. But the way it seems to me from that Pasha is that the Torah does not tell us why the Ribbono Shel Olam rejected Kayin's Korban. Doesn't say anywhere in the Pasukim that it, since it wasn't Mehuda, 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 so therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam rejected it. Es kann doch nicht sein. How can it be? I mean, Cain had no Masech. If he can be Mechaven, it's weißt du from the story that if Cain hadn't brought the Korban, so Hebel would never have brought the Korban, never mind all his fat sheep. So what's going on? Why did Cain just bring the ordinary stuff? The Teretz is because Cain was a very tief Elamdus. What did Cain think? Cain wanted, he says, look, Vayhi Odom leNefesh Chaya. The Ribbono Shel Olam created our father Odom and understood what's happening over there, right? And what did he do? He wanted that Vayhi Odom leNefesh Chaya to take this creature which had been totally made out of earth, yeah, it's Agonish, Begonish, Begonish, Begonish. And by he Adam le nefesh chaya, this Adam, this physical being, now became totally subordinate to the kedusha of the neshama. By yipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, by he Adam le nefesh chaya, the physical part of the Adam became totally subservient to the spiritual part of Adam. That's a moichet gezach. So Cain looked around. And he was a farmer. And the emes is that you can understand him much better than you can understand Hebel. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, yeah, Koitz Vedada Tatzmiach Lach. The Ribbono Shel Olam was apparently, when he was giving Odom the punishment, he seemed to be dealing with Odom HaRishon as a farmer, not as a herder of sheep. So I don't know why Hebel chose that. But Lemaisa, that's what Cain did. So he went and he planted and he struggled with the kites and he struggled with the dada, and they lived a difficult life as the Ribbono Shel Olam had predicted. So Cain looks around and says, "Just a moment. When the Ribbono Shel Olam made me subservient to my neshama." Right? By he Adam le nefesh chaya. There's no sofek that Adam didn't understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. When the Torah says by he Adam le nefesh chaya, so that's what it means, that he made the Adam subordinate to the nefesh chaya. So if he made the Adam subordinate to the nefesh chaya, so Cain looks around and says, well, what about the potatoes and what about the zerah pishton and what about all those other things? Yeah, if physicality is to be subordinated to the holy, so physicality doesn't stop with me. Yeah, my personhood, yeah, is not the only physicality in this world. Yeah, the whole world is a physical world. And what am I taught from my own experience? I am taught from my own experience that I'm supposed to take myself, my physicality, and subordinate it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If that is what I'm supposed to do, let me take my Zerah Pishton and subordinate it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he looks around and he says, so I'm going to have to bring a Korban. Maybe this was not such a big chiddush to him. He felt that the way to illustrate the subordination would be to burn it. I can't tell you what his reasoning was. But I can imagine Cain, before he took the Zerah Pishton and brought it as a Korban, that he sat there and he looked at all the stuff that he had, and he had a lot of stuff, and he wondered, now how am I going to go about that? I would imagine, but I don't know, I was never Cain, I didn't know him, but But I could imagine that he sat there and said, well, number one is clear. God is such a great something, whatever the Rabbeinu Shem is. In Kayan's intellect, we don't know what went on there. So, Sora is to give him from the nicest stuff. Hakriveinu lefecha secha. Don't know whether he knew the posuk, but the concept that Hakriveinu lefecha secha, maybe he would have understood it. Maybe he asked himself, if I would bring my father Odom, if I would try to bring him a present, would I bring him a moldy potato, or would I make it the nicest thing? So, quite possible. This is just imagination, doesn't say this anywhere, at least if it does, I had never seen it. So he probably went and he took the finest Zera Pishtan, let's say, that he had, and he said, this is what I'm going to give to the Rabbeinu Shlom. And then he said, oi, Gewalt, that's ridiculous. What am I going to say, yeah? By the Rabbeinu Shlom, yeah, he likes this Zera Pishtan more than this Zera Pishtan. The Rabbeinu Shlom is the Rabbeinu Shlom. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Kayan had enormous havona of what the Rabbeinu Shlom is. So he's going to tell himself that he likes this potato more than that potato. This is rounder and browner and who are we talking about? We're talking about the Rabbeinu Shlom. So I think that Kayan decided that he would take just the ordinary stuff. Yeah, because if, God forbid, I would take the nicest stuff, could be that that would be touched up as a Chilul Hashem, that I'm somehow accusing the Rabbeinu Shlalom of liking this kind of Zera Pishtan more than that kind of Zera Pishtan. Mr. Meshugna, what's with you? The Rabbeinu Shlalom makes enough gemina. That is how he could have thought. Now I know that later on the Gemara says Hakriveinu lefecha secha and Mumin pasul lekorban. I don't know an answer to that, but I think I can imagine to myself what Kayan was thinking, and so Kayan said, "No, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm not going to insult Kviyochel the Rabbeinu Shlalom by implying that to him is a grace enough gemina, whether it's like this or whether it's like that. I want to take something which is physicality, and physicality is best expressed by the average. This is what's growing in this world. Just like my Odomness, I am subordinating to my Neshama. So now I'm supposed to take the rest of the physicality of the world and subordinate that to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Yeah? So taking the nicest, should be nicest, would not be honest. That's not representative of the world. So what is representative of the world? That's the average. Okay, I'll take that and I'll makrev it to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Rabbeinu Shlalom, lechoani, and I'm yours. Yeah, and whatever it is, and I'm farming because I know you wanted me to farm, but you should know that it's all yours, and I recognize that it's yours, and that is what I'm doing. Why did the Rabbeinu Shem not accept Kayan's korban? Yeah, I tied it before that it doesn't say in the Torah that it was because it wasn't like Hevel. Because he didn't give the nicest. It doesn't say so in the Torah. So it doesn't say, the emesis, it doesn't say why the Rabbeinu Shem rejected it. We do have a Ramban later on, but it's too long to deal with it now. The shiur would go too long. But that the Rabbeinu Shem was megale to Kayan, that it was, this was not the form of avoider which was good for Kayan. Korbanos is not your thing. That's what he told him. I wrote this up. If you have access to one of the books I wrote was Beginnings, which is a discussion of some of the stories in Sefer Bereishis, and particularly in Parshas Bereishis. And I just discussed this issue that. Kayan understood from the Rabbeinu Shlom that korbanos were not his thing. If you get a chance to read that part, I can't tell you that it's true, I don't know, but I think that maybe as you read it, you might see that there is perhaps some merit to it. that Cain was very, very happy when Reuben Shem told him that. Yeah, he said, and I think that that's why he came to Havel. He wanted to tell Havel, Havel, look, yeah, we don't have to fight together, and we don't have to do this. I don't have to be jealous of you. You're a Korban man. You brought a beautiful Korban. I'm not a Korban man, so my avoider will be without bringing a Korban. Plenty of avoider to do without that. Whatever the result of that was and why ultimately he killed Havel, it's a whole big story. If you get a chance to look at that book, maybe you'll enjoy reading it. But that is what's going on over here. This is a Meshunah de Gezach. So Purim is such a Moiradik, especially the Purim of Adasheni, this Mismach Geula Legeula, that the Chazal wanted us to be taught, and the Chazal had the guts, Keilu, to say we're going to ignore Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, which is, as far as I know, the Reise. Yeah, the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes, but I assume that they have a standing over the Reise. I don't know. But Mismach Geula Legeula, I don't know whether it says it anywhere in the Torah. It sounds to me like a Drabbanan. But why? What's so great about being Mismach Geula Legeula? The great thing about Mismach Geula Legeula is to understand that Purim and Pesach, if anything, Purim would kevayochel tower above Pesach. Yeah, you're taking a choil and making it the biggest yontif in the calendar. Purim, it's more in the world, and it's choil. Isn't that what the world is all about? Isn't that what the Ribono Shel had in mind when he created Adam first min ha'adamah? That was such a move which the Ribono Shel took. If we would internalize that, we'd probably look different than we do. The knowledge that the whole process of creating humanity was to subordinate the physical to the spiritual. And that's what it's all about. And that is what Adashen is about. And that is what Purim and Adashen is about. And from Purim, we have to go and learn again how to celebrate Pesach and to understand those aspects of the Ribono Shel Olam. Being a Yid keeps you busy. But it seems to me, from the way the calendar is aufgestellt, it seems to me that the peak of Jewish service is Purim. Don't let the papers kid you when they talk about the minor holidays. Purim and Nishkan minor holidays. Purim is Purim. And Ribono Shel Olam should help us, should be zeicher, to turn our Purim into Pesach and our Pesach into Purim, to become Avdei Hashem and do what we're supposed to do.